Welcome back, everybody, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information at carlsoncast.com. Today's very special episode is an Ask Me Anything edition with special old friend face, he's young face, Mr. Mark Ippolito. And now it's your special host, Rochester's real funniest comedian, it says here, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Hi, everybody. That was a terrible
not
intro.
Not my best work. No. No.
You better pick it up for the news.
I'll work on it.
Don't you dare do stories that are too old.
Never.
All right, get out of here. We're going to welcome our guest in studio. It's the Comedy at the Carlson Cast, and it's a big show today. We're celebrating a couple of things. Number one, how about the two-year anniversary of the club?
Yes.
Happy birthday
to us.
Look who's here. It's Mark. Say hey to Mark on the couch, everybody. There we go.
Hi, everybody.
Mark Ippolito's, ladies and gentlemen.
You look very blue.
Yeah. This is a very breathable shirt, so I went with it today.
It's always good to wear
long sleeves. I have a massive sugar hangover, believe it or not.
Sugar.
So, all right. So, you guys are still big drinkers. I'm obviously sober. Not a big drinker. Okay, well, you obviously know what it's like to be hungover, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I think, most of that is from sugar. In the alcohol. And yesterday, I'm not even a drinker, but yesterday I just went nuts at my brother-in-law's house, just eating whatever.
Like Buster Bluth eating with juice boxes. Just going crazy.
Literally, I got diabetes this morning. I had like 7 sodas, like 3 Gatorades, cupcakes, it was 4th of July, so I was going nuts.
As one does.
Outside all day, just eating like a fat pig.
Well, I would like to thank your blood glucose for not killing you, so we do this interview this morning.
Well, it's casual Friday, and I wanted to feel comfortable being on the couch. And
ultra cash today.
Yeah, ultra cash.
It is the Ask Mark Anything edition of the show, so as you may have noticed, the phone line is open. The text lines are open. I have it right in front of me. I'm looking for your text. 585-484-0265 is the number. Text us your questions to Mark. And today we are specifically talking about the two-year anniversary of the club and what's happening this weekend, the Funniest Person in Rochester contest. Now, I have the privilege of being your host. This is the 4th year I've been able to be the host. It's been great. Mark, this is the 2nd year that you've committed to being a full-time judge.
Yeah, it's great. And one of the things I like about it is I get to see everybody. Being that I would love to go around town and I would love to check out mics. I'd like to check out little off shows and stuff like that. But one of the things that, I'm very fortunate for having here is, A, the Rickles Room and the shows that you produce in there, is like the Roast Battle and stuff like that. And then, obviously, the contest. This is where the top talents here in Rochester, New York are competing. And this year, I don't know. This is second to none. There are some huge thoroughbreds in this race, man.
It's going to be very, very difficult to narrow it down to a top 10, but that's what we're looking to do this weekend. I'm going to pop up on my screen. Hold on 1 second, Cam. I'm going to pull up the actual schedule for the semis, and I got to tell you, man, I have them in here somewhere.
But being able to catch them all is just such a blessing. You know what I mean?
And I know the two shows I judged, too, like my top 4 or 5 were like separated by a point each.
Right.
And they all had really good scores.
And that's just the thing. Like, I've read things online before in the past, and I've seen people like complain about, they were 1 point, this and that. It really gets that close.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to put anything, technically, as far as like this guy did or this girl did everything that they were supposed to do, and you get 2 of them in a row, their scores are going to be very familiar.
Yep.
Especially if each one got 3 applause breaks. Each one did, 4 crowd work jokes. Each one did, if they follow those technical guidelines, obviously their stage presence, their overall, and their material are going to be rated the same.
Well, what's interesting is we had something that's never happened before. We've had ties in the past. Mm-hmm. We had a ridiculous amount of ties.
Oh, yeah.
In the preliminary round. And I sit back there, and it makes me crazy because I have to recount everything every time we freaking get one. So we've had, I think we had 3 or 4 ties last week.
Yeah.
In our 4th place spots. Which should tell you, that's like the elimination spot. That's the spot where you're on the cusp of making it or not. And people flat out tied. You got to step up your game when things are that tight.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do to do that as well.
There are. So we're going to talk about that. But real quick, let's talk about how the scoring works for those of you who are watching at home and listening. You know, a lot of people like to hear the interviews with the headliners and stuff like that, but today we're going to talk the nuts and bolts about a regional comedy contest, which I think is an interesting topic, personally, because, you know, everybody hears it's a bringer, it's a this, that, and another, but we specifically designed this thing
worked very hard to make sure it's fair.
To make sure it's fair, because the traditionally speaking, people get very upset about contests that think it's all about who you bring. Sure, we want to have a crowd there. Of course we want to have a crowd there. We're in the business of selling tickets to comedy shows.
Yeah, right.
But the crowd being there doesn't just help you. It helps all the other contestants have a better show.
Correct.
So if you get your friends to come out and support you in the right mindset of come out and watch a show and have some fun, you're a judge, you're going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a great time because you get to go on a little power trip. All of our audience members, when you come to the show this weekend and last weekend, you get a blue ticket that has... Mark's posing for pictures for Shoeless Joe right now, and I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
It's kind of he comes and puts a camera in my face.
I'm such a stinking bore. I'm like just going on. Oh, and the ballots and the tickets and Mark's over there just like hamming. So basically, all the audience members do is they get this scorecard and they pick their top three favorite performers, and they number them 1, 2, or 3. And to who they like the best, to who they like the third best.
And they are legally required to pick three.
Yes, or I throw out your vote.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that and when the scoring process goes and the tedious amount of time that Vinny does in the back, and we've had an attorney witness it, I've witnessed it, Rachel's witnessed it before. So he says you pick 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, something just happened. Technically, that threw me off a little bit. But it really is the reverse. So if you get ones, you're actually getting 3 points.
Correct.
If you get twos, you're the same. But then if you're getting a three, if you're in the three spot, you're only getting 1 point. And that's kind of where the judges kind of even things out. Because the judges' gavel is kind of a heavier swing than the audience.
It is. Yeah.
So let's say people are always like, oh, man, that dude's a bringer, and that dude's a bringer, and that dude's bringing and bringing and bringing. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of points from his, you know, his entourage.
He's going to get a lot of threes.
Right, from his entourage. But that's when the judges...
But who's getting all those twos and ones?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The next funniest in line, and that's what keeps that in line. Because they're not going to... They're gonna say, oh, my God, that girl was funny. Mm-hmm. Her material about, you know, I don't know, bachelorette parties was fucking great. I'm scoring her next. So now... That entourage is all now the 50 people that one dude brought. Those 50 people are now voting for you for number two because of your material, because of your stage presence, and because of your overall performance. And you know, that's what keeps it fair. And then the judges are the ones that kind of balance it all off. And that's why it's always such a close race. And I have to tell you, the ones that have no business being in the contest are the ones that get eliminated right off the cuff.
Yeah.
Now, there's a few. Now, like Andy Kuhn. I'm a fan of Andy Kuhn. I think he's hysterical. And the only reason why I'm bringing out his name is because he got
eliminated. To shame him?
And to shame him. It's because he got eliminated. But his material is good. You know, and his stage presence is good. His overall performance was good. It just wasn't the one that make all the bringers vote for him at all.
Yeah.
And, you know... So he, you know, he's the exception. But there's some people who I'm not going to say their names. They shouldn't even enter.
But that's the joy of this show, is giving everyone a chance. You have the same chance as anybody else when you enter. I got to tell you, I saw you tell somebody.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say, we're not going to get into the details and nitty-gritty, but I heard you have a very tough conversation with somebody after the show.
Well, here's the deal.
Well,
all right. So there's, I think I know what you're about to say.
You had a tough conversation with somebody, and I want to commend you for it because honestly,
it's
that
tough
kind
being
of honesty,
honest. Yes, that's
that kind
it.
Of honesty should be respected, but you weren't mean.
No. Well, here's the deal. Okay. So
he told someone
lawyers,
to get out of the business and that they're garbage.
No, I didn't. I said maybe comedy isn't what you should be doing or focusing on because it's been 5 years or maybe even longer. And there's been no progression. It's been the same jokes. So let's rewind a little bit. Let's say you want to be an attorney, which you fail horribly in law school, You fail the bar exam.
Your there's first not going to be a law firm.
Right. Well, you're not going to have clients because there's not going to be a law firm that say, hey, we're going to be nice, or the New York State law is not going to allow you. There's no curriculum for comedy except for be funny.
And that's the one rule.
That's it. That be funny. Be funny. You can joke about anything as long as it's funny. Be funny. Yeah. And that's the thing. There's, you know, you can't go to dental school and fail miserably. And, you know, I'm using dental school as an example because of Suresh, obviously. Yeah. Or, you know, you can't.
I think he did all right, though, as a dentist.
He's the man. Yeah, yeah. But you can't fail and then all of a sudden open up a practice and you're So, you know, maybe if you fail in dental school, maybe dentistry isn't for you. And so somebody came up to me after, was like, hey, what did I do wrong? And I was just like, here's the thing. Jokes are like poker hands to a lot of people. A lot of people love them so much. And they don't want to fold them because it's funny to them. It strikes a chord to them. And they feel because it makes them laugh so hard internally. And they feel like it's such comedy gold. And they feel like it's so well written. And it's one thing that they say over and over and over again that they can't fold that hand. They can't get rid of that joke or rewrite that joke because they're so personally attached to it. Fold your fucking poker hand if it's not winning. Mm-hmm. And the people who don't know how to fold and rewrite and construct and deconstruct and continue to move forward that kind of process to actually get the curriculum of being funny, no, you're not supposed to be in comedy.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, young comics especially, try to blame it on, oh, it was a bad crowd, you know. In my opinion, always is if it's more than 20 people and you don't make them laugh, that's on you.
Yeah, there's also you
can have bad tiny crowds, but if it's more than like 20 people in the room and nobody's laughing, that's on you. You're doing something wrong.
If you're a plumber and you go in to fix 20 sinks, and you can't just say those are bad sinks.
Yeah.
Dude, do your fucking job.
It's I'm twice use I that swore from now on. Those are bad things.
And please forgive me for the obscenities already. I swore twice.
He's got a sugar hangover. Everybody leave alone.
I do. I was outside in the sun all day with cupcakes just shoving in my face.
I'm going to use those are bad sinks for really the rest funny. Of my life.
Just shoving them in.
Anytime I see somebody do a bad set, I'm going to go, those are some bad sinks.
Those are some bad sinks.
So the gentleman in question came up to me and asked me what he thought he was doing wrong. And I've seen this gentleman at many different competitions and many different open kind of situations. And I believe in my heart that he has a good heart.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, maybe improv for you because this might not be working.
Shovel them all on the improv pile, huh?
And then, but you know what? If to be quite honest with you, some people expect or
excel.
They like to hear the refreshing honesty. Everybody's so nice to each other. All and yes, be civil to one another. Yes, but also be honest. I was very nice to him, and I just said, you know, maybe, you know, this isn't for you because you're making the same mistakes over and over and over.
Giving him false encouragement is ruder than being honest with him because he's going to keep doing it and keep banging his head against that wall.
I agree 100%.
I got to say, I thought it was refreshing that you were as nice and as open about it with someone. So I am going to commend you on that because that's a hard question to get from somebody who had as rough of a set as that person had. But and it was rough.
I've never seen that person ever have a good set, and I've seen him on stage at least 20 times in my lifetime at different events, and it's always like, here we go. And listen.
That's not the vibe that the audience needs to have.
I love everybody. I want to be civil with everybody, but no, some people don't have a place to be on that stage. And when you are supporting that false, appreciative, and everyone should try it, and blah, 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 no, you're cheapening it, and you're ruining it and for the ones that are really, really trying and really, really making this a goal for a living and really living their dream in stand-up comedy.
And working hard and have some talent.
Working hard, yes, exactly.
And that's the thing, you know, anybody can talk into a microphone. Not everybody is a comedian. Mm-hmm. We've discussed that many times on this show, is where's the line, you know? You could wake up one morning, you can't just declare you're a doctor. There has to be some type of whatever. But let me digress real quick back to the scoring on this because this is kind of important. Because Oh, no, no. That was a great, great answer. I just wanted to bring up what exactly the judges are looking for in this contest, because our semifinalists are probably going to watch this at some point today before the semifinals start, and I want to give them a real clear idea of what we're looking for. There's three different categories that we're judging on: material, stage presence, and then kind of an overall gut vibe.
Correct.
What does stage presence mean to you, Mark?
Stage presence means that you are the captain of the ship and I'm a passenger on your voyage. You literally just took me on your emotional, comedic ride, and I'm on it. And that stage presence was so good that I wasn't thinking about the silverware from table 12 or the banter coming from the other side of the room. I'm 100% into you. Your stage presence, you're controlling the audience. You are looking around the room. You're not necessarily looking at everybody's everybody in the eye, but you're looking at the most point. For me, when I used to be on stage, I would always look at the back wall because it gives the appearance that you're looking at the whole audience in the eye.
Yeah. You know,
you're scanning the room. Go ahead.
Such good advice right there. Such good advice.
Right.
Somebody told me along those lines, and it's something, a rule that I use, is when you're delivering material. Here's a free tip for you. Don't worry, we're not charging over here. Here's what you
do.
We're
not?
No, we're not charging.
No.
Yeah, not teaching a class today, but we are. What we want you to do is kind of, like Mark said, scan the room. But say you're talking to the right side of the room, you're setting up your joke. Hey, you know, I was at the supermarket the other day. And can you believe when you go through those long lines?
Ooh.
And blah, 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 blah.
Boom.
Deliver the punchline to the center of the room.
Yes.
But make sure that while you are talking, you're addressing both sides, and then punchline to the back wall.
And what you just did there is you brought everybody in to one general trip. Man, you're going on this journey, and everybody in that room is now on that journey with you because you included everybody.
I saw one of the biggest mistakes I notice every year is the people who bring a lot of people. All their friends all sit together in one spot, and they just talk to them.
Exactly.
They don't address the rest of the room.
And that might get you through the preliminary rounds. But
yeah.
So here's another little thing for all you people that really care about this business. Everybody did 3 to 4 minutes of material last week. One thing I'm going to be looking for tonight and tomorrow are the thoroughbreds who are doing a completely different set.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to scare some people.
Right. I'm not saying that you're going to fail if you don't. But what I'm going to say is you are going to get higher points if I hear different material tonight that kills than I heard last week.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Absolutely.
I think that's very fair. And I think
that's one of the things that divides the amateurs from the professionals.
Right. Now, here's the thing. If you're just starting out, we have some people who made it through that are very, very new. Mm-hmm. And that's great. We're very proud of you. It's a tough contest.
Correct.
You know, do your absolute best. Do the best material you can and try to polish. I told them all. I talked to a lot of people last week. I said, take the jokes that worked. You know, we have sets available for people to watch. They can go back and watch and listen to the laughs. Listen to those laughs. Mm. Find out where they are. And then, more importantly, listen to where there aren't laughs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fold those jokes. Get rid of them.
100%.
And put something in. Use your one. I say the same thing to people, but I always use the term gold material. I go, give me your gold. When people are like, I want to do a guest spot, I'm like, okay, but you're not working out. You're not Mike Birbiglia. Okay,
right.
You're Mike Bagabonds, and when you get on this stage,
you're Bagabiglias.
You're Mike Bagabones.
Get your
but anyways,
six.
You're not going to use a stage where people are paying a top ticket price to work out some dumb material that you've been working at a coffee shop. You're going to take your dumb material and you're going to put it aside, and you're going to take your gold standard stuff. You know that's going to make people laugh, that's going to reach a vast audience, it's going to bring everybody together, and that's the 5-minute to 7-minute guest spot that you're going to use on the stage, or I'm not going to give you a spot again. I don't want you up there with your phone or your phone going, all right, well, I tried this one at Mr. Goodbar last week, so let's see how it does here. This guy, blah, blah, blah. No, don't work out on my stage. People aren't paying to see you work out. People pay to see Bob Saget work out,
right,
not
right,
fucking Bob fucking Yaget. You know what I mean?
Go Thank you the, for not rhyming something else. Fuck. I'm very happy that didn't go somewhere
I can't
else.
Believe I picked a different word to rhyme.
That was a bad choice. We got through it, though. We got through it.
My butthole clenched so tight for a second.
That would have been funny, though, right?
I would have laughed later.
Oh, my God.
You own the place. If you laughed at it, I guess we'd be...
Believe me, I don't.
Oh, what a good joke, Mark. We loved it. Hold on. Let's talk about that stage presence thing a little bit more when it comes to having your notes or cell phones. If somebody uses a cell phone as part of a joke, this was something that I noticed. I appreciate it. And I wanted to give some shout-outs. I'm not saying names on the show, Mark is. But somebody came up to me and said, hey, for part of my joke, I need to look at my phone. And I was like, is it so you remember? And he goes, no, it's for the dramatic emphasis of reading it. And I said... Beautiful.
That's right. And it worked. And I know exactly who you're talking about.
Picked up and said, hey, I think it was Luke, wasn't it?
And he read, no.
No, it was something.
No, it was the kid with the glasses, the little dude. Young
Ryan
kid.
Garcia. Ryan
there
Garcia.
It is, yes. Ryan
he did the lyrics to
he
Bad.
He read Bad. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He read it verbatim. He goes, I'm going to read it verbatim. I'm bad.
You know it.
I'm bad. But he did like 30 seconds. It was hysterical.
Right. And like that's... Great. That's
exactly.
You can
and if you're using your phone tonight, listen, if you're planning, I don't want to scare anybody from not coming or anything like that.
I don't think that's
we said the first thing here, we're going to do the comedy curriculum today. We're going to set the comedy curriculum today. Ready? First rule, be funny. Second rule, have fun. So that's part of your stage presence. If you're not up there having fun, then the audience sure is not having fun watching you.
No.
If you're nervous, the audience is feeling that. But if you're up there controlling the audience and you're having fun, guess what? The people in the audience are having fun with you, too. So 100%. Have fun.
You know, I always, recently, you've had me, like, working with some people on stuff. And one of the first things I say to them is, when you walk up to the stage, if you're emceeing, act like you're happy to be there.
Yeah.
Step one, act like you're happy to be there.
And that you've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You, what was that movie, Boiler Room?
Oh,
with
yeah.
Ben Affleck?
Was he in that?
Yes.
It was Vin Diesel?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck was kind of like the oldest guy. Like the.
That's
he
right.
Took everybody in this boardroom, and I want to say he said, act as if. And I thought this was a great line that really... Even though it was a freaking movie that people...
About conning people.
Exactly. But you should still act as if.
Act as
if you own the place. Act as if you are a good comedian. Act as if, you know, when you're up there, act as if you've done this 100 times. Act as if the material, even if it is kind of shitty, act as if it's the best. If you're questioning it, just boom, belt it out. You know what I mean? For some people who aren't sure.
Now, that's, you know, a really good and, I mean, in essence, the best advice for the stage presence category you're going to get. Act as if.
Yep.
Act as if.
Can't argue with that.
Have
one
fun.
Bit.
Have fun.
Okay.
You're enjoying yourself. You're up on stage. This is supposed to be a good time for everybody. Have a good time.
The other category that we're going to talk about before we get to all of your questions, and make sure you're texting them in, 585-484-0265. We're going to talk about the other two categories really quick in the judging for judging. The other one is material.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what goes through your head when you hear someone do a book joke on stage? What goes through your head when you hear a book joke?
Well, usually I look around to see whoever else I know is sitting around me.
Yeah.
And then we look at each other and we roll our eyes like, come on. But last week... I'm not going to give the joke or the person, but it was extremely stock, extremely book. And it was this person's closer. And it was, this person was like, like she just
but
pulled
you know what though?
Like
she acted as if.
She, you're right. Like she just ta-da and pulled a fucking bunny out of a hat. And I'm like, we're all looking at each other like, what? You're like, really? But you know what, though? And I don't want to sound too...
No, we're being honest, Mark.
Yeah,
we're being honest today.
But
we're
I also don't want, I don't want to sound like we're, you know, too prestigious. We want you to have fun. And maybe on her behalf, maybe she didn't know it was a book joke. And maybe she didn't know it was a standard hack joke.
Yeah.
It's been she lives under a rock or something.
It's been done a million times by a million different people. Right. So that's stuff to avoid. Material, listen.
What we look at is complete, original, timed out, and that's part of the stage presence that's going to take you on that emotional journey that you're going to stick with. Your material has to be good. It has to be solid. Timely as far as I don't want to hear Ronald Reagan jokes. Nobody does. But
I got a rap about Bill Clinton.
Well, at least that's closer. You know,
that's true.
The thing of it is that I guess Ronald Reagan was maybe a bad. It
was a perfect example, actually.
Yeah, just write original. But here's the thing: if you're not staying up on your writing, you should be writing every day. You should be. If this is going to be your full time job, you should be writing full time. Mm-hmm. You know, I know people who make $75,000 a year who work 75 to 100 hours a week. I know people, you know, who make $100,000 a year who are working 100 hours a week. And I also know people who want to be comedians who work 15 minutes a week.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's why you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
That's why you're not getting offered jobs. I know other comedians who fucking don't leave their... That's the third F. I'm sorry.
Probably
I'm sorry,
before.
Julia. I told you I wasn't going to swear. I know other guys locally, Rochester, who want this to be their dream, who don't leave their book away from them, who are always writing down every thought, whether it's like five of you guys hanging out in the bathroom at the table or at the bar, they're constantly writing. Mm-hmm. And then I know people who just don't give a shit and they're not writing at all and then they're just trying to go off the top of their head. If this is going to be an employment situation for you, you have to work at it.
And I think the way those people stick out is it's the people who write jokes that do not fit them at all.
Right.
Like, it may be a good joke, but it does not fit their personality at all. You know, and they're just saying stuff that just seems completely made up and totally out of place.
And one of the things that you can do if you are one of those people and that just clicked in your head
would be stop it.
Stop it, or make that observation come from you.
Be present enough to, yeah.
Boom, there you go. That's how you, so turn it into yours and make it yours. Make it your observation of you, your personality to where where a lot of people are going to agree, and then not just agree. When you do the, you know, the misdirection, it's going to get all of those people to say, ha, ha, ha. And guess what? People are 60 and white. They're 30 and black. They're female. They're male. They're Trump supporters. They're Antifa members. Everybody comes to shows. Mm-hmm. Everybody buys tickets. And I'm not saying you have to be one of these or on any spectrum, but the whole entire spectrum, the whole thing, that's who's buying tickets. So you want to be able to make everybody laugh. And once you start getting a fan base, then more of your personal, because I know a guy here in Rochester, New York, who's absolutely hysterical. He's dark. He does a lot of jokes that, you know, are borderline offensive. I have seen him offend people before.
Mm-hmm.
I've given him a shot before, and he opened up with a Nazi joke. And it was actually about baby Hitler. I think this kid's one of the funniest writers I've ever met in my life. But in his mind, he doesn't want to appease the audience. He doesn't want to take some of his jokes and say, okay, well, maybe I don't want to dumb it down. And I say dumb it down, but maybe make it more relatable
to the general public. A long time ago, I read this quote. It's from George Bernard Shaw. He said, a wise man expects to adapt to his environment. A foolish man expects his environment to adapt to him.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And it's something that I've always kind of thought about that when it comes to, like, when you're dealing with a crowd and knowing who you're talking to is a big part of the business, too.
Right.
And
if you want the masses to buy tickets to come see you, make the masses laugh.
Yeah. And I think some people think it's like selling out. It's not selling out, it's doing your damn job.
Okay, I'm going to use Kurt Hammett from Metallica. Him saying...
It's not exactly George Bernard
Shaw. Oh, yeah,
Shaw, no,
Metallica. I don't care. Because this quote always stuck with me, too. Yeah. Kurt Hammett goes, yeah.
Exit night.
Metallica used to be just like a bunch of, like, you know, long-haired headbangers. Yeah, Metallica's us. And then all of a sudden they became mainstream, and everyone was like, oh, the headbangers were like, they sold out. They sold out. Yeah. Kurt Hammack says, yep, we sold out every seat, every arena, every show.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's the answer.
Where do you want to be, dude? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in you're going to direct your life. You're going to dictate where you're going to go. So where do you want to go? Do you want to be in a studio apartment your whole life? Eating, you know, out of a canned soup? That's fine. That's who you are. That's great. Or do you want to make a great living at it? Have a house, yabba dabba do? You're going to dictate that path. And how hard you work at it is what's going to take you there.
I feel like one of the problems that a lot of people have, and this is a really big thought that I'm going to try to get out. The biggest fear, I think, for a lot of performers is that a joke that they write is considered hack. And I feel that a lot of that fear comes from trying to write stuff that would appeal to everybody. They feel that that would immediately make them hack. And it also comes from a place of contempt almost for the mainstream. Because I know a lot of people who have that vibe of, like, you said, the Metallica fans who are like, oh, they sold out and all these other people like them too and they have a big audience. I don't want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. I want to be with the cooler, small crowd. And that's a real thing that gets in comedians' headspace as to how they write. And like you said, how you write's going to dictate the level of success that you end up with.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to be with the cooler, small crowds.
Not at all.
But if that's what you want, that's so here's the beauty of
but
it.
But I'm talking
so
about the danger of the contempt of them.
Right, you nailed it. So what the true talent is and what really polishes the diamond in the rough, what really makes the lightning strike you, what really makes the sun shine on a dog's ass, are the ones that can reach out to the masses but still maintain that level of originality to where it didn't sell themselves out.
Exactly.
I'll give you a name, a guy who I think is an amazing writer
thank
and is
you.
Not hack
thank,
at all.
Thank you, Vinny.
Eat a Bullet.
It's so funny that you said Eat a Bullet. That's.
I was going to say Gaffigan.
Oh, Gaffigan's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And nothing hack about him, but my grandmother would sit down and watch him and laugh hysterically.
Yep. And here we are talking, how old are you?
None of your business.
But
37.
37, and you mentioned you and your grandmother being fans of one human being's material. Yeah. That's the point. That's the point. That's the talent. That's the diamond in the rough. That's the fucking lightning struck this dude because he had the talent to make it to the masses to where he didn't sell himself originally, to where he's got you, a fan, and grandma as a fan. The spectrum of fans. That was my whole point. It doesn't have to be as intense as what I said earlier, just the masses. Because that's who's buying tickets.
Regan?
That's who's supporting your salary. That's who's, Brian Regan. Holy fuck, his success.
And every comedian you ask who's the funniest comedian working today, you say Brian Regan.
Now, here's the thing about it.
Who's a great guy, by the way.
Here's the interesting thing about it. Now, we're talking about this level of success just depending on the style of writing. There are people who are just as funny but have gone on darker paths that are just as big.
Right.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, I wouldn't say is a darker path.
I would say that Bill's dirtier, certainly dirtier, and will touch topics that Gaffigan won't
touch. Bill Burr, I would argue, is not dark or dirty, but honest.
Sure, but a lot of people would say the swears would put you into
more
blue area.
I get that. But it's also him. It's his observation of how things are, and people who are fans of Bill Burr can relate to how he's saying things because they're observing the same things, which is on a big level and a massive success. And Bill Burr is my favorite of all time. And he's another one. I think, are we getting off topic really far?
No, this is what our show is, Mark. Where have you been?
Bill.
You own the place, dude.
I don't own the place.
Don't you watch the show?
I'm just a dishwasher, everybody.
So let's get back on track on one thing real quick. Let's talk about tonight on the show. Could you show my PC for me, Cam? We got two shows tonight. We've got a show at 8 p.m. tonight and a show at 8 p.m. tomorrow. We have about 13 and 14 contestants on each show. They're getting 4 to 5 minutes tonight to entertain you. You could come out and watch the show. Tickets are $15 at the door. And we have quite an interesting array of performers here.
There's some killers. Yes.
We're not going to handicap this because that would be not a good thing to do. Because we do run a very, very open contest. You know, the points don't lie. That's what we score this on. But there are, let me count here, one, apart from me being the host, two, three, four or five people here who I really think could have a future in comedy right now, that could actually start working at the club and you would be happy with.
Three, four, five, six. I'm looking at both shows. There's five on the first show that I see definitely. And even though I'm saying there's five that are definites, it doesn't mean that the rest aren't. I just haven't seen the diamond in the rough yet, and you're on your way and keep working. But five of you have already...
Made an impression.
I've made an impression. One, two, three, four, five. And, yeah, I see about six on the second show as well.
That is very high praise, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that for an amateur competition. That is very, very high praise.
Right.
And there's saying nothing against the people, other people on the show, because they all definitely earn their spots. But we want to have a quality competition, and we are looking for the cream of the crop to rise. And
not
we
only
want...
that, this year is different because you and Todd came up with such a great idea, because not only is there $1,000 of cash at line, work online. And by the way, we got rid of the second and third place like guaranteed prizes because, quite honestly, we're seeing such talent that we are employing people from this contest. So we're not guaranteeing anybody work. But if you're doing well, you're going to get work. It's as simple as that. So first place this year, July 17th, not only are you going to get $1,000.
Oh, this was my idea.
Yeah, this is I'm sorry, Vinny. This is Vinny's idea. You're going to not only be judged by myself, but you're going to be judged by Lori at the Funny Bone, and you're going to be judged by Sean
from
Helium
in Buffalo.
So all of upstate New York's three, the trifecta major clubs, are going to be represented here in the Rochester area on Wednesday, July 17th, and that's who's going to be judging you. And by the
way,
that
is the biggest prize you're going to get in this whole stinking thing.
Seriously, definitely. You're talking about upstate New York. You're talking about Helium. You're talking about Funny Bone, and you're talking about us. That, it doesn't get larger than that in New York.
Yeah.
And that's who's going to be, you know, other than, I'm sorry, the city. Upstate New York, it doesn't get bigger, and that's who's going to be judging you. And by the way, don't be asking our guests for stage time while you're here.
If you bother the judges, I'll disqualify you.
Seriously, no.
That goes to you, Brian.
I already prepared a packet.
I'm Brian Ball.
Ross.
Can I get a guest spot?
I already prepared a packet and everything, man.
Sir, the headshot.
Ross has got, like, proposals for podcasts for Helium. I could do the news for you guys. It'd be great.
I don't ever want to, you know, hold anybody back on any opportunities. But this is supposed to be, like I said, it's for the competition. They're here as guests, so please don't pander them.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be great. So if you're on that show, you're going to be watched by Syracuse, Buffalo, and Rochester.
Literally, the people who make the decisions.
And it's going to be big. It's going to be sold out.
Let me tell you how nervous I am as the host for that show. I was actually thinking of just headlining it and sending Brian. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I feel that in itself is a major prize.
Huge.
And so what we're doing this weekend is a little bit different than last weekend. We were putting through the top four people. Tonight's show, we're putting through five. And tomorrow's show, we're putting through five.
Nice.
We're going to have a top 10 for our final.
So essentially, if you make it through this weekend, you've won.
You're a winner.
And then your audition is Wednesday, July 17th. And if you don't look at it that way, and you're not getting your gold, and you're not getting yourself preparing in your top material, and if you're like, well, I'm going to try and put this joke in front of that joke and see how it works, bye-bye. But if you're like, I'm going to put this there, that there, then I'm going to hit him with this, and then I'm going to work him out in that boom, and then I'm going to hit him with my yam, and then uppercut with the boom, and the yam, yam, a doom, you're the top dog. And you know exactly what I said right there, even though it was gibberish.
It's complete gibberish, but we still love you.
It just made me tired.
If there was closed captioning, it would just say Italian noises at the bottom. See it at the final.
But honestly, that's a huge day. It's going to be cool for a great opportunity for those 10 people to perform in front of us. to see if they can get work, because, you know, MCs, people that can to properly do MC work, people that can properly do feature work, is tough. That's where our jobs come in. That's where my job comes in, to find out who can do that, put them on that stage, and trust that they will represent not just themselves with their material, their overall experiences, their stage performance, but our club. You know what I mean?
And small thing, but if you do make it to the finals, make sure your people get there early.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Tonight and tomorrow, yeah. Be there early, because once 300 are sold, it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. And then...
we always end up turning people away. It's terrible.
The finals, literally 1 year, we opened up the doors and we had some people standing there watching, and we were like, no, this doesn't work. So we had to turn them away. But it is... So tell your people, if you have people coming, get here early, get your seats, and don't come in and say, I got 50 people coming, can I get 50 tables? Listen.
Everyone wants their own table.
Sit with three people at your table, talk to those four people, then when the show starts, shut up. You don't want to I don't want to hear you yelling across the room to Tony that you haven't seen in 3 years because he's in town for the 4th of July picnic. Seriously. Hey, did you hear that one? She did the joke about your gas. No. Shut up. Enjoy the show. Nobody wants to hear about your sugar hangover.
Sugar hangovers make Mark angry.
No,
have a Snickers. You'll feel better. Stern.
No, but, you know, on a side note, if you do go to a comedy club, please don't talk.
Shut up.
Just laugh.
Shut up and laugh.
That was great.
You'll never get in trouble for laughing too hard at a comedy show.
Laugh.
I know some people have really awful laughs that infuriate me.
No one cares. You very rarely hear people laugh at you, so I don't know why you're so tired.
My wife laughs at me.
And are you talking about your wife? Are you saying that your wife's laugh?
No, she has a good laugh.
Okay.
You know who I was referring to.
Jim LaChase?
No, Kate Wood.
Oh, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie. She watches. So
let's go to, we have an audience question. Hey, this one comes from another guest judge, our buddy Fitz from Fickle.
Hey.
He wants to know, do you think props are a good idea for a comedy show?
Oh, dear Jesus, Fitz.
I said that's exactly what he was going to say.
I know. Was he on that show?
He might have been.
Oh, my.
He might have been.
Carrot stop. Okay, well, all right. If you can pull it off, you can pull it off. I mean, Carrot Top has a whole residency in Las Vegas right now where he makes, I don't know, if Google his net worth, he's probably it's a lot. I mean, he gets plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy is making a good living.
Permanent mascara.
Puppet
he
guys.
Has.
I mean, there's two puppet guys that we know of that are pretty good. If you can pull it off and it's funny and it's different, but right now, it's got to be tough to get into the prop comedy. It's got to be tough because everyone's going to view you as hack right off the bat.
Yeah.
So you really have to have some props and some material that are going to smack people in the face. And, oh, my God, that was great. Did you see that mannequin that spit ping pong balls out of its butt? You know, I don't know. But that's
I want to see that.
Right. Cam, I know.
You're going through to the finals.
But it's got to be difficult for that to happen. So I guess if you're going to be a prop comic and that's what you want to do, make sure it's awesome.
And it probably isn't.
Some people, I don't know. You can only smash so many watermelons.
I'm just saying it's very difficult.
You know, I got to hold the hammer once.
Did
I tell you my favorite Gallagher story, Mark?
No, but his original stool was for sale, the red one, and it was signed, and I almost bought it. And
How much?
It was $200, and I almost bought it. I should have, but then all of a sudden he went on his retour, and then I was like,
So when he was in Rochester for Joke Factory, my job was to drive him around, and I had to babysit him. And I'll put it to you this way. He's a different kind of person. He's a very different kind of person.
I bet.
He says to me, he goes, hey, Vinny, you want to see something really cool? And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, Mr. Gallagher. I called him Mr. G. That was just, Mr. G, whatever you want to show me. He's like, come on, Vinny, we're going to go in here. I'm going to show you something really cool. And I'm like, oh, we're going to see the hammer. And I walk in, and the hammer's sitting there. And I'm like, oh, I start looking at it. And he goes, here, sit down real quick, Vinny. And I'm like, okay. So I sit down. in like his hotel room.
You're in his hotel
room. I'm in his hotel room. Gallagher just asked me to have a
sitting
seat on a couch.
On his bed. Oh,
not on a couch.
Oh, he had a couch, huh?
It's Gallagher, Mark. Oh, okay. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Gallagher gets a couch.
Please, excuse me. Excuse me. So he's on the couch.
I'm on the couch. All and right. He pulls out his iPad and proceeds for the next hour and 40 minutes that I timed to read me his poetry.
It was my reaction.
Wow.
He read me his poetry for
an
hour.
And you were
and
that
half.
Polite that you stayed for the whole
you,
hour?
I think you know me. Like, I sat there and I was very nice.
Jeez.
But then when I left, I was like...
Did he put his hand on your knee at all?
No.
I mean,
he stood, in front of me and delivered it like he was doing Shakespeare in the Park.
Direct eye contact.
Wow.
He was just like... And the man from Nantucket said, like, it was just...
It wasn't comedic poetry, just poetry.
I think he was trying to make it comedic.
Wow. And you didn't
and
order
he's like,
a pizza
I think he'll, and I'm like, he read me one. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then all of a sudden, it went into the next one. And then it went into the next one.
You are a better man than I, because after the first one... Hey,
well, guess what?
Mr.
I almost
G,
didn't buy a
I gotta
stool.
Go.
I'd have been swinging that hammer.
He was between me and the hammer. I thought about it.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be weird? That's the only way he should die.
That's when a fart would have been awesome.
Hoisted on his own petard.
it's the only rightful way for Gallagher to die is to someone to turn the hammer on him. I'm pretty sure. And I'm sure there's some promoters who just might.
Seriously.
I know one of them who's not in love with them at the moment, but whatever.
So, Fitz, the answer to your question is it's got to be tough. I wouldn't do it myself, but if you're going to do it, have some great props.
Yeah.
And material.
All right, I'm pulling up to see if we have any more Google Voice
text. I have a quick one. I've been wondering. I think a lot of people think that you just kind of come in here at night and hang out till the show's over and go home. But what does your day actually look like?
Oh, wow. Well, usually I'm here at minimum 8 a.m., sometimes 7 a.m. And a lot of times I'm, you know, first off, I'm doing a lot from everything from entire business running. So I'm looking at menus. I'm going through contracts. I'm going through bookings. I'm scheduling events. So we don't just schedule comedy shows. We also schedule parties, meetings, weddings, fundraisers. So I'm on the phone a lot. So like today, while you guys were setting up, you guys were probably walking past the office. You saw me. I was actually preparing a few contracts. You know, I'm basically on the phone all day long. It's a lot of clerical stuff.
Yeah.
Then, you know, around 5 o'clock is, you know, when I try to, you know, button up stuff, and I come out on the floor, and, you know, Jake, who is awesome, who's now on board, you know, just kind of work with him to make sure that everything runs smooth, and that's that. You know?
Yeah, man. You
long days though.
Very long days. So like when I said I know people who work 75 hours to 100 hours, I'm one of those people who work 75 to 100 hours.
Because you don't work, you are in the entertainment business where, you know, it doesn't stop.
No.
It doesn't stop.
It's who we are. It's who we are. There's always something that needs to be done. There's always something. And also being, you know, partners with Suresh is great because it there's always progression. It's always, okay, so what can we do better now and what can we do next? What can we, you know, what's, you know, we're always looking at what works and what doesn't work and always trying to move forward. And that's the key.
Yeah.
So daily operations, it's actually kind of boring. Literally the office. Mm-hmm. I'm in the office.
Hmm. Brian asked a boring question?
No, I mean my life. I mean, there's not really... I talk to a lot of exciting people. I deal with, you know,
I'm just saying a lot
all
of people,
the top
the
agencies.
The reason why I ask that, I think people don't understand how long, like, how long the hours are and how much work goes into just making a couple of two-hour shows a night. It's a hell of a lot more than just flipping on the lights and, you know, throwing the person up on stage.
Exactly. If it was that easy, everyone would be able to do it.
Absolutely true. You know a lot of people. You've made connections. Nobody could just step in and do what you do, and I hope you know that. I think you do know that.
No, to be quite honest with you, it takes time, and it just, like you said, connections. It's not me. It's everybody. It's all of us. And networking us all together into this one giant collaboration. And, you know, and that's, you know, one thing that, like I said, working with Suresh is we collaborate with so many different entities, so many different other organizations, so many different fundraisers, so many different, you know, people that you know, we get stuff from. So first off, if anybody ever asks, a lot of my day is fundraising. Because not only is it, you know, good for business, it feels great to give.
Yeah.
I mean, literally 2 weeks ago, we built a doctor's office in Kenya.
We did. We had Daphne in here talking about Humans for Education.
Great cause.
.org.
Just epic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last year, we sent 3 inner city school kids to Y Camp all summer long. We supplied 500 full backpacks with school supplies to Rochester City School District, which we are going to beat this year.
Nice.
We've collaborated with other people to make that happen this year. We've raised money for Pluta Cancer Society, MDA. We had a fundraiser for James Norman, who was the president of Action for a Better Community. And for his retirement, we had a fundraiser here. We helped them raise quite a lot of money.
Helped the good folks at the Alzheimer's Association, my wife's agency.
Exactly.
You guys, I mean, how much money, if you had to guesstimate, do you think you've raised for charity out of this building?
$1.5 million. We figured it out last week. So that's what it, exactly, it's huge.
You know, I've read on the internet that you're a real jerk. This is such surprising news.
I am a jerk. I'm such a jerk. You're right. I read about how much of a jerk I am on the internet all the time,
too. You suck, Ippy. $1.5 million.
We've raised $1.5 million towards our organizations in the past 2 years, all different organizations. To give an example,
that's
for
amazing.
MDA, we raised the first year, I believe, $100,000. And this year, $125,000 for Action for a Better Community. It's up there. So you add them all together, it's $1.5 million.
So I got to tell you, man. Not only does Comedy at the Carlson put on the best comedy shows you're going to find anywhere in upstate New York, nothing personal, Helium and Funny Bone, but you are coming here. I'm just kidding.
I was the judge for the funniest person in Buffalo contest last year. They're great there.
They are. We love them.
Very good. They're very respectable. Everybody.
But all I'm saying is we're the best. All I'm also saying is that not only that, we work very hard to do the right thing by our community. And
absolutely.
When you come here and you come to a show, you're actually helping support that.
Yeah.
Whether you're just coming to a show, us being open, we are going to continue.
Yeah.
There's nothing that feels better than when you do something for others that really, really need. Because, you know, I'm completely blessed. You know, I love this. I make a great living at it. I'm so blessed. You know, we could all be working different jobs that we're completely miserable at, or we could be poor. We could be at the border. We could be someplace else that's just really, really bad. And there's nothing that feels better than when you help other people. Really, it really is great. And that's one of the things that working with Suresh is so awesome about us. We do it so much. It really is. Really, once a week, we have a fundraiser here.
It's just about. It feels like. So if you want to learn more about fundraisers coming up, if you want to learn more about upcoming shows, the best place to go is carlsoncomedy.com.
Boom.
And if you want to get tickets or learn more, you could also call 5854 Comedy.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So that's Mark Ippolito today, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be our judge tonight. Also joining him in our judge's booth is Paulie G from The Wee Show.
Awesome.
He and is Dan Viola. Yeah, he's showing up.
Oh, epic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gave me a BS excuse, and then I talked him out of his BS excuse.
Oh, nice.
And so now he's going to be here.
Is he going to bring the baby with him?
I have a feeling Wheels is just going to show up in his place about 10 minutes before the show.
Did he say he was
stuck in a sauce barrel or something?
No.
I have tomato poisoning.
Is that
I got an acute case of marinara blindness, whatever it is you get.
It's
some marijuana blindness.
It's all that acid in the tomato sauce.
I got acid from the tomato
Who's
sauce.
Who's judging tomorrow?
Tomorrow night is Alexis Arnold from 13 Wham.
Smoke a Hannes.
And our good friend and headliner tomorrow night, Mr. Rick Matthews from Buffalo.
Oh, nice. I love Rick.
And tonight's Dan Viola. So we'll see you there for tonight's show. Semifinals start at 8 o'clock. Tell your people to get there early. We'll see you tonight for that. We're going to take a break, talk about our upcoming shows, and then Ross is to come in here and do the news.
The news.
And by the way, if you enjoyed this interview, don't forget to rate and review. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Bang, bang, fireworks. Hope all your fingers are still there. We have the hilarious Nicole Byer from Netflix's Nailed It, July 11th through the 13th. Club favorite, Mike Dambra, July 18th through the 20th. July 25th through 27th, Pat McGann. We have the hypnotic Chris Jones, one night only on July 26th. And on July 27th, the experience that is Dalton Castle. Bobby Collins, August 2nd and 3rd. Thea Vidal, August 15th through 17th. The man, the myth, the legend, Ron Funches, September 5th through 7th. Harlan Williams, September 12th through 14th. That's going to be a very great show. And Vicky Barbalak returning November 21st and 23rd. And Pete Carelli, December 12th through 14th. If you want to get tickets, go to carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Comedy of the Carlson Cast. I want to say thanks to our great friends. How about Chef Joe over at Sapori Cafe and Catering? They're located inside of the Powers Building Atrium downtown and have the best lunch specials you're going to find in Rochester. And to top it off, they could cater your very own special event. Visit at Sapori Rochester on Instagram and find them on Facebook for more information. You could also check out our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Jeff and the boys over there make the finest beers you're going to find this side of the Genesee River. And they also have an amazing, amazing brewery with live music just about every night of the week. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information there. And we also want to say thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Always remember to drink responsibly, but they make delicious stuff. They make Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and a traditional Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Visit ironsmokewhiskey.com or you can visit their tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport. So, thanks, sponsors. Now it's time for a show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com. All right, we are back, and that means it is time for my favorite segment of the show.
Why is that, Vinny?
It's the one right before we go home.
Oh!
It's the go-home segment, we call it, also known as Stand-Up News with Ross Johnson.
Never gets old. How are you doing, everybody?
Good. That joke is just like the opposite of Brian Ball.
Sure. In what way?
It never gets old. It's the opposite of Brian.
I didn't get it. That's not good. That was a long walk.
Time to go. We could just skip this part and go home if you
want. probably for the best. Lay it on me, Ross. What do you got
this
week?
So,
we've been off for like a couple weeks. You got to have something.
Been
like,
off for a couple weeks. So I've got this is fairly recent, but a couple things that I've wanted to mention that had happened over the past week or so. So update, just a quick update. So we talked before, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, about Dave Chappelle doing a Broadway residency.
That's correct.
Very exciting. I guess it sold so well already. It doesn't start till July, but I guess it sold so well already that he's adding an extra 5 shows.
Oh wow!
A second week of performances. So he's doing 10 now. So
I think. That
I hope he doesn't get overworked.
I think that Dave Chappelle has future.
He's a hard-working young kid.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's fighting his way towards the top.
Yep. I mean, Celine Dion did like 2,800 in Las Vegas or something. So he's got to, if he wants to be Celine Dion, he's going to have to work a little harder.
I don't think he wants to be Celine Dion.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Dave Chappelle would take the Celine Dion money.
Might be Celine Dion.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You got to be somebody.
All right. Well, that's a good update. 5 more shows, 5 more opportunities to see Dave Chappelle on Broadway. How do we get tickets, Ross?
You can go to Ticketmaster, and those will be available to the general public on June 28th, which
Excellent.
Is
a few days ago.
A few days ago.
Good stuff.
Several days ago, actually, I would say. A week ago.
That was like a week ago, yeah. So those are available now.
Theoretically.
Told you I've been stuck.
I would love it if all those 5 new shows are sold out already.
I'm sure they are.
We just did the story because you're the worst newsman ever.
In fairness.
In fairness, Guess what?
Does anybody listening to the show have money to go see Dave Chappelle on Broadway? I mean, really.
I'm listening to you
Joe,
right now.
Joe Kinnerman has he has a one pair of shoes that's covered in pudding. I mean, that's our standard. That's our typical audience. That's
three
our,
tires
that's
on
our
his
mean,
car.
That's our mean demographic. So,
yeah, he's
let's
our
just
only,
people fantasize.
He's our only Patreon subscriber.
He's literally the only one.
And he works here.
All right, keep going, keep going. What else you got?
Okay, so let's bring it down for a second. So,
you didn't already?
sad news. So, Artie Johnson passed away from laughing. I don't know if.
Oh yeah.
I know if Brian, of course, is the only one who's going to remember.
All the time.
Yeah, he was the Nazi
he did his
guy.
Last one yesterday.
He was the like very interesting but stupid, which was very funny in the 60s. So he was, but he had done a ton of stuff. He did a ton of voiceover stuff. He was 90, so good for him.
Oh,
but,
good run.
He had a good run, though.
But absolutely.
Good run, Artie.
Yeah.
So, R.I.P.
Let's bring it back up again. This is just going to be a roller coaster, by the way, this week. So the National Comedy Center, which we talk about occasionally, I still have not been personally, even though we've been talking about it for like 2 years. But
I want to go do a live show from there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they'd let us.
Yeah,
I'm sure they would.
If we buy a ticket or something.
Stuff.
We'd have to buy tickets, obviously pay admission. But if we just all bring our iPhones, we could probably do a makeshift show.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. You could get, I mean, like a tight seven? They can't kick you out before
If anyone from the National Comedy Center is listening, call me Boo.
Sure.
Heckled
by Lucille Ball's ghost.
Oh my God, I'd love that.
I'd rather be heckled by Desi. not funny.
I Lucy was tough. I think you'd want to go with Desi.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of physical humor to impress Lucy.
Yeah. So People Magazine, one of the top 100 reasons to love America in their July 1st, which did happen already, I'm aware. their July 1st cover story. But that magazine is available now. So.
Yeah. Slightly more current.
Good saver us.
Slightly more current. Thank you.
He had a story about a guy who died like yesterday, so that was all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay, so I said this is going to be a roller coaster. This is another exciting tour news. I guess if you're looking for, if Dave Chappelle sold out, Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay have announced their Mr. and Mrs. America comedy tour.
I'd watch that sitcom, I think.
I might.
If you had Dice and Roseanne doing a show together?
I would not tell anybody I'd watched it, but I'd probably sneak and watch it.
Yeah. I want to know what's up there. I don't know how I feel about this. Good for them. They're going to sell out everywhere they go.
Oh, yeah,
they
have money. Freaking
on a commercial level, go for it, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think I really want to go
I love that picture of Dice. That picture is priceless. Show my computer real big so everybody can see. Go to VinPC. Yep, here. Let's take a look-see here. look at that very current photo of Dice Clay.
That's not at all from 1997.
Yeah, that's from like the 88 Madison Square Garden poster. All right.
I didn't even catch that, so thank you. Yeah,
you got it.
So Dice Clay told Fox News, of course, that the pair was inspired
They got
by
the exclusive, did they?
Absolutely. Inspired by the current nationalist obsession with political discourse, in addition to the alleged policing of comedians' language. He says, "She's a comic because she's wacky. I've known her since we were kids. When people ask about what she said, I say, she's a comic." So, there we go.
But is what Dice does even controversial anymore? Like, it happened so long ago. He kind of has a pass. I don't think he's that controversial. Do you?
No, I don't think Dice is kind of... I think nowadays his career would never have gotten off the ground.
No, but it did.
I mean, it did, but I'm saying now, if Dice Clay was doing what Dice Clay does starting right now, he would be an open micer forever.
Yeah.
And nothing against what he does, not saying it's not funny or anything like that. It's just the times.
Yeah.
He was a product of the times, and he became a legend for that.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean...
And so he's kind of still allowed to keep doing it, just like Don Rickles got away with still doing that stuff that he did right
He can do whatever he wants
to.
If you're asking me which one is more of the controversial person, I would say it's Roseanne. But I would also remind you folks that are, new subscribers who haven't gone back and checked out our back catalog, we had a very interesting guest right after that happened. Do you remember this, Brian? Lunell.
Oh, yeah.
Lunell came on the week after this whole thing with Roseanne happened, and they're like besties.
Yeah.
And she said, there's nothing racist about Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know about nothing. But
I guess her Twitter account is something. But
yeah, it's weird.
Lunell, Lunell defended her, and...
We had a couple different people.
She was in Borat.
And a lot of people who know her, I mean... a lot of people who know her have said the same thing. I don't know how much it counts like. Well, she's not racist quietly in her home with me. But, you know, like, I don't know how much that counts.
I mean,
you, like,
we drink wine together. She did make me go get it.
Right.
But
like, Jesus Christ.
She didn't say anything like that. I'm just saying.
She's sort of fascinating. And I don't know. Well, and the other thing is, I don't know, like, how funny she is now. I mean, because it seems like...
Yeah, I have no clue. I haven't seen her do stand-up.
In, like, with her Twitter stuff, yeah, which is sort of all that's out there, it's just her kind of, like, screaming about stuff. So it's not... There's no comedy to it. So I don't, if she got up on stage, maybe she'd be hilarious.
No, I think she probably knows what she's doing. I mean, stand-up is a muscle that I would find it very hard to lose. It is. You can lose it. But, like, once you know your own voice and how you write and you know your audience...
I don't know. I feel like that situation, though, I feel like there's a potential laziness in the sense of she knows she can get up on stage and say whatever she wants,
mm-hmm.
and good for her,
yeah.
and she's going to sell tickets. I mean, it doesn't. I don't know if it inspires you to work really hard to, like, you know, I don't think she's workshopping her set at open mics and stuff like that, you know?
You know, speaking of potential laziness, do you think she goes on stage and does a story from, like, 2 weeks ago?
I'm not getting paid Roseanne Barr money. So.
No, you're not.
Or money.
Or money at all. Of any
what
kind.
Were you saying, Brian?
I looked at that poster and I just thought, wow, who thought I'd live to see the day where booking Andrew Dice Clan a show makes it less controversial?
Yeah, yeah.
And here we are.
Like, he's the palatable one.
Definitely.
Shut up. All right, what else we got?
Okay, so...
Skankfest. Talk about controversy.
I don't know if this is more controversial. I was saying slightly controversial. Probably a little more controversial. So... A little dispute between Skankfest 2019, which is an annual comedy show, like a they court controversy a little bit in New York City. They do this annually. So the Skankfest 2019 was recently. They had the venue, the Brooklyn Bazaar, sort of versus the Skankfest organization, who had Louis C.K. as a guest, as an unannounced guest. For Skankfest, they brought him out on stage. The venue says, we did not want them to do this. We didn't know that they were going to do this. We wouldn't have allowed this, and we would have stopped Louis C.K. from going on stage at our venue.
My eyes are rolling so far in the back of my head. Keep going.
But they say the crowd was such that they were nervous about security and safety, so they decided not to intervene. I don't know if this is the after-the-fact... You know, this is their word. So why are your eyes rolling, Ben?
Well, because first off, the venue is it's the expression, and I've heard certain club owners say things in the past. One in particular who might have been our guest on this episode in the past said sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Sure.
And it sounds to me like this Brooklyn Bazaar, if I had to guess, probably didn't give a flying shit at the moment that it happened, but then got all the so we would never have allowed it. Yeah. It's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
It smells like a backtrack.
It smells exactly like a backtrack, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm also not the person who owns a place called the Brooklyn Bazaar.
Sure. Yeah, and I have no idea. It does sound potentially like, yeah, it sounds like a backtrack. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they were horrified in the moment, and again... you know, you rent out...
They booked a thing called Skankfest,
right,
Ross.
Right,
they booked Skankfest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you had a very different idea of what they meant by that, they booked Skankfest.
I guess, well, and Louis C.K. keeps appearing. He seems to keep showing up at these things unannounced. Maybe clubs need to start, like, you know, listen, whatever you want to do is fine. No Louis C.K. Or, yes, Louis C.K. If Louis C.K. shows up, it's fine. Maybe they need to start putting
Louis
that
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think with presented the opportunity, most clubs would probably take him.
I mean,
I think it would probably be...
We're talking about
two out of three.
Bizarre,
two out of three would take him, I think.
I mean, it's in a commercial sense, absolutely.
I mean, even a chain. I mean, like, I mean, not that he has to go back down that far, like, to play, you know, chain clubs and stuff like that, but they would take Louis. That's a sellout.
Yeah, guaranteed.
That's a sellout.
And
doesn't he only
apparently...
announce his shows, like, 2 days in advance
or
something
now?
And it still sells
out.
Yeah. And the audience was apparently appreciative, so.
And in the words of the great Eric Bischoff, controversy creates cash.
Yes.
Yep. So lots of controversy going on. I guess at least...
I guess at least Roseanne and Dice, you know what you're getting into if you show up. Louis C.K., who knows? He could just appear. He could show up here.
You showed up at Skankfest. It's not terribly surprising that...
You know what makes me happy, though? You know what really makes me happy? Is that, like, say Mark were to book Louis C.K., there's no way Louis isn't doing this podcast. Do the podcast. You better do the podcast.
Yes, please, Louis.
I want to have a conversation with him. I'm so fascinated by that whole situation. I would love to interview him.
I think he'd talk about it.
I think he would, too. He's an open guy. I mean, I'm not trying to whitewash what he did, but I would be very interested to talk to him.
Yeah. I don't know. It's become a little revisionist with him at this point. Like, I don't know how... It's one thing to say he's honest, but I think he's honest in his own mind when he talks about it. I don't know if he's honest. I don't know if people who've been in the situation with him would say he's being honest.
That's why
you
need a crack interviewer like me to really just bust that note open.
Absolutely.
Well, we shouldn't talk about Louis C.K. and busting nuts, should we?
No, probably not.
All right, let's keep going.
Okay, so wrapping it up with something light and fun that might be interesting. So,
hello, Seinfeld.
The team at Superfly, the promoters, have announced the launch of the Seinfeld Experience coming to the Gramercy neighborhood, Manhattan. That's going to be this fall in the future. Just want to clarify.
coming to Manhattan, fall 2017.
It's going to be a ticketed attraction. It's going to, according to this, immerse fans in the legendary TV show like never before through set recreations, memorabilia, costumes, and props. And the launch will coincide with the show's 30th anniversary. And just to tie this back to the beginning, because that's what you do when you're crafting a new segment, as I am. JRA is the team that did the design of the National Comedy Center. They are the ones who are doing the, they're collaborating to do the...
I'd put money on a bunch of those sets coming to the, going to Jamestown when they're done.
Yeah, I wonder.
I love Jerry Seinfeld. I love the show. That sounds like the most boring way to spend an afternoon I could possibly think of.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
It's an attraction about nothing.
Yeah, the show was literally about nothing, and you just want me to go walk around. Yeah, so, that's the set. It looks like
I love
TV.
That.
You were a Seinfeld fan?
Seinfeld fan?
Oh, huge Seinfeld fan.
Okay.
I mean, who's not?
I got a question for you, and I got a question for you viewers and listeners at home. Feel free to leave it in the comment section. If you could have any prop from Seinfeld, like just anything that was on the show, to like just have as your own, like your own little piece of memorabilia, yeah. What do you think you'd go for?
The envelopes that killed the...
No, that's good.
I would have guessed you were to go Cigar Store Indian.
I mean...
I was going to say the phone. Okay. The phone he's on all the time.
Neither one of you go Superman statue?
Oh, the Superman statue,
neither one of you go a bunch of losers.
But I mean, Sophia's purse is really the... I mean, that's...
Sophia's purse?
That's the one.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what you think. I'd love to know what ridiculous prop
you
want.
Or which cast member?
Which cast member you'd like to take home?
I'm
guessing not Julie Michael
Louis
Richards.
Dreyfuss.
I'm guessing the majority of our audience picks Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
I guess that's the Comedy at the Carlson cast for this week.
Yeah.
Happy two-year anniversary, Comedy at the Carlson. We love you. We've had a blast for 2 years, and we're going to be there for the Funniest Person in Rochester contest tonight, and we'll be back next week when Nicole Byer from Netflix has nailed it. Back to a regular schedule, guys. No more summer break.
Boop.
Boop. See you next time.